You're listening to some of my best and most knobbly bits from today's show. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2. Committing to one person for the rest of your life is a big step because you need to know that person really, really well. So who do you know better than yourself? Sophie Tanner is the author of a book called Happily and is also a soligamist. She married herself. Sophie, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
When did you marry yourself?
In May 2015, so a few years ago.
And so could you tell us about what kind of a marriage was it? Was it a full bells and whistles wedding?
Yeah, there were quite a few bells and whistles. I actually married myself as part of Brighton Fringe Festival. So we had quite a performance and I had like 15 bridesmaids and we danced through the Brighton Pavilion Gardens. And then I dressed my friend up as the Pope and we went through my vows on the steps of the Unitarian Church.
That sounds lovely. And did you have your family there and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, my family and friends all came along and my father gave me away to myself, which was lovely.
What did you do when it was time to kiss the bride?
Well, I did the thing that you do when you're a teenager. So you turn around and wrap your own arms around yourself.
Oh, so right, yes. Okay, that was clever.
Like
And did you have a first dance?
I did, yeah, I did. I had a first dance and I invited everyone to join me. It was Trini Lopez's If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life. And everyone danced with me.
All right, okay. Now, now, obviously, legally, you can't marry yourself, but it is occasionally something that one reads about, that people have had some sort of ceremony to marry themselves.
Yes.
And what was your thinking in doing it?
Well, I mean, there's several reasons that I did it. It's kind of, for me, it was a bit of a rite of passage, I guess. The Western world, we don't really have much ritual. And if you don't get married, it's nothing really to mark your, gateway into adulthood and independence. So I thought that would be a nice way to celebrate myself. And also, I just think in society, there's quite a stigma surrounding being single. And people kind of wish away their life waiting for the one. So I thought it'd be nice to celebrate singleness.
So you don't regard yourself as single now?
Well, no. I mean, I am one. I'm joined.
Yes.
But I mean, I am single, but I'm single in myself.
Okay, yeah. But does that preclude you from having a relationship with a man at some point, a romantic relationship, I mean?
No, I mean, when you marry yourself, you're not really signing up to be a nun or anything. Basically, you're creating a standard of what a happy relationship is, meaning that you don't settle for scraps. So, I mean, but then when you're actually feeling secure and content, it actually means you're capable of more fulfilling relationships, so you can certainly have other meaningful relationships in your life.
Did you, when you first had the idea to do it, did you think you were, did you have to give it some thought beforehand? It's an odd way to phrase it, but were you secure enough in your relationship with yourself to think, yes, I can go ahead and do this?
Well, actually, I had the idea to write the book. And so as I was writing the book about a girl who married herself, I was doing the research. I made inquiries to Brighton and Hove Ceremonies office asking if it was a possibility, and I got quite a lot of they were quite curt in their response, saying we can't help you at all. So I guess the more I explored the concept, the more I thought this is actually something I really must do. So it kind of it took a year or two to actually reach that point, but then I was so convinced that I needed to have my own ceremony.
Yes. How does it change things for you though?
Well, it certainly, as I said, the vows, they were adapted from the usual Christian vows and they were just as resonant, for one person. As I performed the vows in front of the crowd, it was a really amazing feeling. And I must say that I always bring myself back to them because, you're always going to have a bad day and you're always going to disappoint yourself. But it was really powerful having those vows to be my own best friend and, to embrace my disappointment and that sort of thing. So I do keep going back to them, even in 2 years later.
I suppose some people might react in that it's a kind of a solipsistic, narcissistic thing to do.
Yeah, they have. I've had a lot of people say that. But when you look at narcissism, which I have quite a lot in psychoanalytic theory, it actually means difficulty with empathy and sustaining satisfying relationships. And it's all about vanity, whereas marrying yourself has got nothing to do with seeking adoration. It's not you know, indulgent vanity. It's about just committing to truly love yourself. And so that's more about self-worth as opposed to vanity and insecurity.
Mm.
It's well, kind of the opposite.
Yeah, well, do you feel that people perhaps don't love themselves enough?
I think that happens a lot. And I think that can manifest itself in loads of different ways. But often, you know, I think bad character traits can often lead to insecurity or not feeling enough self-worth.
Mm. Because I suppose you can't get divorced, can you? Or can you?
I don't really think that I can get divorced because it was such a journey to kind of get here to marry myself. And I think, well, basically, if you neglect yourself or you don't keep your promises, you don't give up. You just keep coming back to your vows. But if you can't live with yourself anymore, I mean, that's basically suicide. So divorce isn't really an option.
Yeah. Okay, so it is for life.
Yeah.
So it's Catholic marriage then?
Sorry?
It's a Catholic marriage.
Well, no, we hired the robes, Pope's robes from a fancy dress shop
yeah.
to give it an air of ceremony and religion.
Yeah, but given that you can't get divorced, it is a Catholic marriage. That sense.
In that sense, yeah. I suppose it is, yeah.
If somebody asks you out on a date, at what point do you tell them, I'm also married to myself?
Yeah, that's a tricky one sometimes. Well, I kind of leave it, I must say, for maybe the first date or two, and then just casually drop it in there. And actually, the reaction to it is normally quite a good, it's quite a good signifier as to the type of person I'm that opposite from.
Yeah, well, presumably if you get a negative reaction, that's probably not a good indication, one would have thought. But, might it put a bit more pressure on that person in that you've kind of said, well, you know, you have to, as a potential partner, you have to be better than me?
I would hope that, I mean, the people who have accepted it find it a really great concept and maybe something that they think is something that they could consider themselves. I think it's not really about them. It is about me. And it's not about me setting a barometer that they need to beat. It's just knowing that you're with someone who is happy and content surely can only be a good thing in a way.
But, I mean, does it, to an extent, tell them that if they were interested in a long-term relationship with you, that they would always be number two?
Well, I would hope not. I haven't had anyone say that to me, but I might have to ask. But no, I mean, I would hope that it wouldn't be a case of me. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's that whole thing of if you love, you know, you can only truly love someone else when you love yourself. And that whole thing of bad behavior coming from insecurity. So, you know, if you don't love yourself and you don't have self-worth, you might well be jealous, possessive, impatient with someone else. So that's what I kind of try and explain to people. You're actually in for quite a big deal if you've got someone who's content, because I then have the capacity for, you know, giving them a lot emotionally as well.
Have many people done this around the world?
I think quite a few have, and more so recently. But yeah, across from America to Asia, men and women, there's been quite a few ceremonies, whether they're big public displays, or I think some people sort of do, you know, just solitary vows to themselves, almost like a meditation.
Mm. And but I assume, though, for different people, the motives might be different. Though, would there be a common factor of the sense that you're somehow a failure if you're not coupled up?
What, as in the motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of people will be doing it as a reaction to the sort of stigma they feel there is in society. Some people might see it as just an extension of just celebrating their happiness generally. And it might not be from an angry place.
Yeah.
But I think the motivation generally would be to make a statement of sorts.
Do you celebrate your anniversary?
The anniversaries I've had so far, I've celebrated actually just me on my own inside, just a quiet reflection rather than the big party that was the wedding.
Mm. But you haven't forgotten it yet?
No, not at all.
But if you do forget it, you can forgive yourself. That's the nice thing about this.
That's it. There's a lot of forgiveness there.
Sophie, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Sophie Tanner there. She's a polygamist. She does have a website, by the way, sophietanner.co.uk, where she gives a guide to polygamy.
Thanks for listening. I hope you were enthralled, horrified, or tickled pink. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2.